Welcome back to the Footy Fix podcast. After a long hiatus, we are back and better. I'm your co-host, Ben Botello, and joining me as co-host is Adam Bazana. Adam, how good does it feel to be back talking about footy, talking about the beautiful game?
I was about to say it feels absolutely electric to be back on the podcast. No better time as well. You know, we've just finished up the January transfer window. We've got Champions League games coming up. Got a lot of drama stewing over at Manchester United, so no lack of content today for sure. But yeah, just definitely excited to get it back started again.
No, absolutely. This seemed like the perfect time to really start this up again. I mean, 100%. We got Champions League round of 16. Good to get in before that started. Like you said, Man U are in absolute shambles right now, and the market is over. So before we get into the UCL predictions for the upcoming week, I'm going to ask you a question here.
Go for it.
You might have a bit of a bias being Italian and all, but let's see. Andrea Pirlo or Paul Scholes in their prime? Who are you picking?
Ooh, okay. So in their prime, see, I think that's a very difficult question. Personally, I think that the Italian game throughout history has been very synonymous with defense, and it's been a very defensive league and known for that. So I personally am just going to say Pirlo because I think that the quality of defenders that he had to go up against may have been slightly better than Scholes's. I think both of them are absolutely incredible players. Both have, you know, a ton of accolades to their names. But I think the one thing that Pirlo has that Scholes doesn't is that World Cup. And I think that's what puts him just a little bit over the edge, because he also does, like, Pirlo himself has, he's won Champions Leagues, yeah?
Yeah,
so he's got, like, the European, he's got the Italian, like, domestic success, he's got cup success, and he's got World Cup success. So I think I would give it to Pirlo slightly for that reason.
No, I think I would agree with you. I think that it's a little bit harder of a debate, but it's also a complex one because people generally put Gerrard and Lampard ahead of Scholes. Yeah, but you hear a lot of pros talking about the ability of Paul Scholes, mm-hmm. and then they say that he's far better than those other two. And it's not just, you know, the likes of Ryan Giggs and other Man U former pros. It's the likes of English legends that have played with him in the national side. It's the likes of Xavi and Iniesta when they faced off against him in the Champions League final in 2009 and 2011. But I think, honestly, like, it's a good question. It's a good debate.
Great question.
But for me, Pirlo, the technical ability, he's so smooth on the ball, the passing ability, mm-hmm. scoring from distance, scoring from free kicks, long passes, short passes, dummies like in the 2006 semifinal against mm-hmm. Germany. Mm-hmm. It's just he's. I think he's got a better mind than Paul Scholes. Not to say that Paul Scholes didn't have an amazing mind. We're just talking about two elites of their craft, and Pirlo just happens to take the edge along with the accolades as well.
Yeah, no, and I'll definitely agree. I think that for people in our generation, or, you know, people around our age, when you think of, like, maestro, you think of someone who could pass the ball anywhere he wanted, looked like he had a ball on the string. I think of Pirlo, first off. Like, in terms of, you know, obviously Iniesta's up there too, and Xavi, just great midfielders that were just so technically good at passing the ball. But I think Pirlo's just maestro in the true sense of that word.
No, you couldn't be more right. And there's something about seeing him play with that long flowy hair and those, like, baggy, like, late 2000 shorts
it's just
the incredible style, and then just being so smooth on the ball. But anyways, let's get on to our UEFA Champions League predictions.
Sir.
Obviously, we have a huge Tuesday and Wednesday ahead of us, and a very hopeful Tuesday and Wednesday ahead of us, I would say, being Juve fans. The round of 16 is a very, very scary time. March is a very scary time. Late February is a very scary time for us. But what are you thinking about Juventus and Villarreal?
So I have to say, Juventus, if we've been famous for anything these past few years, it is chokes as the favorites. So I am absolutely hating this matchup personally. I wish we would have gotten, you know, maybe someone who was, like, a little bit better of a second place team, because this might sound weird, but I like when Juve go in as the underdogs, because it seems like we play better. Or when we go into a team that's, you know, on par in terms of skill level, we seem to play better than when we go in as favorites. Like, we go in as favorites against Porto, and we lost that one, and that should never have happened. And the year before that was Lyon, right? So I don't think Juve is coming in with as big of a favorite, or, like, as much advantage as people maybe are crediting to them, because of how often they play down when they are favored. That being said, I'm super excited to see Vlahovic in Europe. Because so far, Vlahovic has been tearing up Serie A with Fiorentina. And now we've signed him, and great goal in the debut. But now it's time to see, can he do that outside of Italy? And I'm very, very, very excited to see it. And I think he's going to be able to. I think he has all the skills that he needs. I think he's good on the ball. I think he's fast. I think he's got good finishing, you know, good finishing touch around the net too. So I think that if we are going to win this game, it's going to depend on Vlahovic.
I agree with you 100%. And I understand that, I mean, both of us, I'm very wary, yeah, to be honest with you, to going into this matchup. And I like what you said about the underdogs, because it's been true. And then you go back even 1 year further, the first year that Ronaldo was there, Ajax.
Yeah.
Right? Honestly. And when we matched up against Atletico Madrid in the round of 16, that was, like you said, we were kind of underdogs at that point, because Atletico still had the likes of Godin. They were still a very, very solid side.
Underdogs after that first leg too.
Exactly. So when we play with that underdog spirit, or when Juve does, it seems like we do play a better brand of football. However, this year, they seem like a different team. That didn't start out that way, because Ronaldo left and we lost a lot of games. We weren't winning in general. Mm-hmm. Now, with the signing of Zakaria, with the signing of Vlahovic, this might be the best team that Juve have had in the last 4 years. And I'm considering all of the variables, right? You got to consider Chiellini and Bonucci are always going to be a rock solid despite their age. This might be one of the last years that you can get really good performances out of Chiellini especially. Yeah. But you got to remember, we have De Ligt, yeah, right? Then we got Zakaria, who in my opinion has got to be, beside Locatelli, the best midfielder that this team has seen in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's better than Arthur. And also Locatelli, we signed this summer. That's a decent midfield. That's a ball-winning midfield. And then when you bring in Vlahovic, a very lethal, huge guy, but very skilled in the ball, just a pure finisher, first time in Europe, he's going to want to show up and show out. Mm-hmm. I think this is where it ends. This is where that round of 16 bad luck, it totally ends. And what I was saying about the best team in the last 3 years, it's not because of Vlahovic coming, it's more Zakaria coming. Mm. Because we've watched games where it is just horrible. It's a horrible brand of football. There's no flow to the game. We're watching Rodrigo Bentancur make 5-foot passes, and he's shoot. It's just like Adrian Rabiot, the likes of Emre Can, and all these guys are so poor. So I look at that. Zakaria addition to the team makes them, this addition of Juventus, the best we've seen in a few years. Yeah. It's just too bad that they couldn't, you know, I don't know if it's couldn't or didn't, or just chose not to buy a midfielder when Ronaldo was there to give them that support. Because I feel if they just made that one step, things could have gone a lot better.
And I'll say, our midfield, we did have Pjanic for like 2016 to 2018, but after we lost Marquisio and after we lost Pogba, that is when, truly when we lost Marquisio, he was the last one to go, he went to Zenit, but that's when our midfield really started to go downhill, and that's when you saw it affect our goal-scoring abilities as well. And yeah, I'll agree with you, Ronaldo was there. We did not have the midfield support that we needed for him, and love to see Zakaria come, love to see Bentancur go. Sucked to see Kulusevski have to go with him. I would really hope that Tottenham's not going to use their option to buy him, and I hope they send him back to us, because I'm a huge fan of Kulusevski. And he's shown up clutch for us too. Like, he has shown in pressure times when he needs to, he's been able to score for us. So I love him. I think the one thing that we're going to have to deal with is the lack of Chiesa. The fact that Chiesa is not going to be there, because he has been so integral to our offense in this beginning part of the year that it's like it's really going to be on Tadic. Or Tadic. Oh my gosh, I'm thinking about Dusan's now. Dusan Tadic. It's really going to be on Vlahovic to, you know, he's going to be that focal point. And we still are going to have Dybala there, but like Chiesa, in terms of running with the ball, like he was the focal point of our offense. He was the creator for it. So it's really going to be a big task on Vlahovic to see if he can, you know, kind of fill Chiesa's boots in that sense.
There's absolutely no doubt. And like Chiesa, from that span of towards the end of last season and then the Euros where he just blew up.
Incredible.
And then until he got his injury, I think it was a torn ACL, yeah, this year.
ACL.
I think he's been a little bit better than Dybala. But
I'll
speaking
agree.
To Vlahovic stepping up, Dybala's got to step up.
Yeah, he has to.
He
scored last, or not last game against Atalanta, the game before that he scored for us.
He did, and he's been scoring in like spurts and here and there. But I'm talking like, we saw this Dybala in 2017 where he scored 20-some-odd Serie A goals.
Yeah, that's true.
And he scored those two beautiful goals against Barcelona in the semifinal to send us to the final, the
and
Champions League.
That 94th minute against Lazio to secure the title.
Exactly. Yeah. So we saw that Dybala, and a lot of people were like, oh my God, like this is the new, we're getting like a new version of Messi, the new Messi and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. We're getting a world-class player like Del Piero, and it just never really happened. I mean, he's got world-class ability.
Yeah, it happens in spurts.
Happens in spurts, and I need to see that more consistently or else I'm going to lose my mind because this is the type of game that they can lose. Villarreal are not a bad team. They won the Europa League last year. They gave Man United a run for their money in the group stages. And Atalanta they kicked out at home. Yeah. At home in the snow. When that game got postponed, the next day they kicked them out.
Yeah.
So, you look, but domestically, we can kind of be more comfortable because they are sitting in seventh. Mm-hmm. And I don't really respect Unai Emery. I'm not very afraid of him.
Fair.
But he has a very good reputation in the Europa League, obviously. Yeah. But I am wary of the likes of Gerard Moreno. Mm-hmm. I'm wary of their experience. They have a lot of really quick wingers.
Yep.
And the problem is the thing I'm most afraid of is Juve's tendency to completely implode on themselves in the dying moments of games, and especially in the round of 16 in the Champions League.
We can't talk to the past enough in terms of looking at Juve collapses, but yeah, I'm really hoping it'll be different this year. I do definitely agree that Unai Emery is someone that has to be respected. You know, he had, two or three Europa Leagues with Sevilla in that span? I think it was three, yeah. So he's not someone that hasn't found success in Europe, and he's not going to be someone that's going to be coming in and taking this game lightly either. I'm super excited for it, but also super nervous just because, again, you never know with Juve. You never know what they're going to do, man.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So what is your prediction? And mind you, this is not for both of the legs and the whole result. Yeah. This is just for the first leg. So what are you saying for this one?
I think it's going to be a 1-0 game. I have honestly no prediction for which team, though. I cannot tell you. But I'm going to say it's not going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think so at all. I think it's going to be 1-0, and I could see it going either way, which is heartbreaking as a Juventus fan to say out loud that I'm not confident of us winning this game.
Yeah, that's... You know, I'm not even. That's a good take. That's a good take considering who Juve are for sure. I'm gonna go 1-1.
Okay.
Be a little safer, to be honest with you. And I think that. Remember, there's no away goals this year.
Yeah.
So really, a 1-1.
We'll take it.
Doesn't really matter, right? Doesn't really mean anything anymore. But in the grander scheme of things, it really does because this is a game we should be winning. So, I'm expecting my expectations to be destroyed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with 1-1 in the first leg, and then obviously when they play it, we'll come back and talk about it.
We'll
revisit it. Rehash this memory, right? Moving on to the next one. We have Chelsea versus Lille. Now, this is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about this one?
So for me, obviously, you know, you have to give respect to Lille for coming first in their group. That being said, I think it was the easiest group in the Champions League this year. I'm just going to quickly read it out. It was LASK Lille in first. Then you have RB Salzburg, Sevilla, and Wolfsburg. I think you compare that to some other groups that had, the one with Man United, Villarreal, and Atalanta all in it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely a large disparity in quality between those two groups. That being said, credit to Lille. They still had to win the games. They still had to go out there and play them. But I just don't see them beating Chelsea personally. Lille are in 10th in Liga, and right now they're not doing well domestically. You know, again, they did well in the Champions League, but take that with a grain of salt because of their competition. I think, though, I'm really excited to see how Jonathan David does. Because as a Canadian citizen, that was such a weird phrasing of that. Yeah. But as a Canadian, you know, you're always interested to see how they do. Like, when Byron's playing, when he's not injured, you'd love to see Davies playing out there. So it's going to be great to see Jonathan David. But yeah, I just don't think Lille have the class to be able to come up against Chelsea, especially in two games, and come out of there with more goals than Chelsea have. Chelsea's just, you know, they still have N'Golo Kante. They still got Thiago Silva back there. They've got class. Oh, I can't say that. I was going to say class out the, but that, a little rhyme there, but I can't do that. But yeah, they've got class all around the pitch, you know. Yeah. So I think it's just too unsurmountable of a task for Lille to take Chelsea down.
Yeah, I got to agree with you here. And if this was the Lille of last year, it would be actually a harder.
Yeah.
It'd be way different, right? Because they won Ligue 1. They won Ligue 1 over PSG.
Yeah.
And they were a much different team, right? They had Mike Maignan back there who is showing – he's playing brilliantly for Milan right now. But this is a different team than last year. And their saving grace will have to be our boy, Jonathan David. Yes, 12 goals in Liga, which is fantastic. It's good to see a lot of Canadians rising up like that. Mm-hmm. So he will be their X factor. And along with one of my favorite players on the international stage, Renato Sanches, mm-hmm. who is fantastic for the Portugal national team. And then kind of like very inconsistent at the club level. But regardless, he's a very good ball-winning midfielder. And he can turn it on when he has to. But again, what is he going to do when you're comparing him to the likes of N'Golo Kanté? Like, he's going to be matched up against Kanté all game, 180 minutes or more, if this happens to go there.
And it's not even just Kanté, too. Like, you got to think about it, because they've got Jorginho, who can also win balls well in the midfield, and Kovacic.
No, 100%. So this is, again, I think Chelsea are going to win this game. Mm-hmm. And we got to remember, they just won the Champions League last year, coming off of the Club World Cup victory.
Yeah.
But we remember that Porto-Chelsea game, that matchup, that round of 16, I believe it was really tight. It was really tight, and Porto were complete underdogs, just like Lille in the situation. Granted, Porto were a better team last year than Lille are now, but still, it might be a good matchup if everybody on Lille decides to have a wonder game, but again, that's going to have to happen over two stages, so... We're obviously going to pick Chelsea for this.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular scoreline in mind?
I think I'm going to, you know what, just because, got to shout out the Canadian.
Yeah.
I'm going 3-1 for Chelsea, and I'm saying the one lone Lille goal is scored by our boy.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I like that. I'll go 3-1 as well. Fair. That seems like...
I think it's realistic for both the teams and for the play styles as well. I think 3-1 is realistic.
Yeah, and 100%. There's nothing else to say for that. So let's get on to maybe the most enticing matchup of this week, Benfica versus Ajax.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's not the biggest names in the world, is it? But they do each have very good players. Obviously, these are two of the most well-known clubs in Europe for creating homegrown talent and selling them off to bigger European clubs.
Yeah.
But again, we have to talk about this matchup because I think honestly this might be the most entertaining matchup in this round of 16. I know we're obviously everybody's gonna be pointing at Real Madrid and PSG, which has got all the names, and looking at Man U and Atletico, which we will get to, and Inter and Liverpool. Mm-hmm. But this one, I think both of these teams are in a way underdogs enough to the rest of the competition that it's going to be goals galore. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like all out 4-4, 3-3 games here. So who do you have for this game?
I think this game is a really, really hard call in terms of like judging between the two teams, because I love the football they both play. They both play fast football. They both play good attacking football. Ajax has been lights out this year. Six games, six wins. Two wins against Borussia Dortmund as well, who is no small team, no laughing matter. And also in their group, who they beat twice, Sporting CP, who is currently ahead of Benfica in the Portuguese league. Now, that being said, domestic leagues, you know, doesn't affect how you play in Europe. For me, I'm going to have to go with Ajax. I think that the one thing I'm going to give them is they've been there before. And they've been there before recently, too, in terms of maybe they don't have the exact same core guys from that, I think it was 2018/19, that they made it to the semifinals and lost to Tottenham, because they lost De Ligt, they lost Frankie De Jong, but Van de Beek as well. But they still have David Neres. They've got Antony as well.
They sold Neres.
They sold Neres when?
They sold him to Galatasaray in the January window.
Shoot. My apologies. They still got Antony, at least.
Yeah, no,
they got one Brazilian youngster. But yeah, that's what I was going to say. I also love Tadic as well, Dusan Tadic. I think he's a great player, great captain, brings a lot of experience to that side as well. And again, he was there, so he can, you know, he can try and let the guys know what they're going to have to do to push it to that next level. What I'm really interested to see in this game, though, is the battle of the youngsters between Darwin Nunez on Benfica's side and then Antony on Ajax's side. Just see which of the one... Because they're both really fast, explosive, dribbling youngsters, and I just want to see which one of them is going to, you know, outshine the other.
No, I 100% agree with you. And speaking on Antony specifically, he might be like one of the most skilled players in terms of dribbling and on the ball since I've seen since Neymar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that little thing he does, where he wraps the ball around his foot and does the 360s.
Oh my God, the spins.
That is
yes,
crazy,
ridiculous.
Man. And he does that in game, and he does crazy things that only Neymar would think about. I'm not saying he's good as Neymar because he's obviously not, but these Brazilian youngsters, man, Vinicius, Anthony, they just keep emerging, and they're so skilled on the ball. They might not have the stats aside from Vinicius. Mm-hmm. These guys might not have the stats, but they are so good on the ball. So the problem is Haller is having a great season for Ajax. He's got 10 both in the Eredivisie and in the Champions League. He's got 10 goals in the Champions League. He's got 14 or 16 goals in the Eredivisie. Mm-hmm. So he's their top scorer. He's the league's top scorer. He's the Champions League top scorer.
Yeah.
He's having a terrific season. And he is old. He's 29 years old.
Yeah.
This is happening late in his career. Ajax have Ryan Gravenberch, right? Fantastic future world-class midfielder for the likes of, you know, Madrid, City, United, whoever.
And
Netherlands, obviously. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some big club is going to end up buying 100%. Him. And then they got the maestro, not the maestro, I guess the maestro, Erik ten Hag, right? That coach that coached that side to the semifinal. Now, you're right. Maybe those their key players have left and became stars at other clubs around Europe.
But are we just seeing a repeat of it?
But the system remains the same, right? And that's why he's wanted by the likes of Man U and other clubs around Europe, because he, without fail, every single year, almost every single year, Ajax seem to do well in Europe, even though they lose a lot of their top talent every single season in the window.
Yeah.
So it's obviously got something to do with Ten Hag. It is something to do with him. He's a fantastic coach. But then you got to look at the other side of it, right? Benfica are the same. Benfica are like the Portuguese Ajax. them and Porto and Sporting are very similar to each other, but those three teams are like the Portuguese Ajax. They have tremendous coaching staffs, tremendous development centers. They produce youngsters that go on to win major trophies all around Europe. So I think it's like 1A and 1B in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I still think I still think Benfica are going to they're a good team. I still think they have quality and they have it in them to beat Ajax. They did beat Barcelona 3-0,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but I mean, we're looking at this. I think it's going to be a shootout.
Oh, 100%.
I think it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
And I do think, in my opinion, I do think Ajax is going to come out.
Yeah.
So what is your score prediction?
Quickly, shout out to my boy Nunez, scored two of those goals in the Barcelona 3-0 win. But my score prediction, I'm going to go... See, I'm tiptoeing between 3-2 and 4-2. Both times I'm saying Ajax is winning, though. But I'm towing that line between 3-2 or 4-2. I think it's going to be a big offensive shootout. I agree with you in that entirely. I'm gonna go 4-2. It's gonna be my final prediction.
I'm gonna go 4-3 Ajax.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go seven goals in the first leg. And I think that one of those goals is gonna be scored like 2 minutes in. And right away it's gonna be a shock game.
That's fair.
It's gonna be a shock game. But we have Ajax going through. More of the story.
Yeah, I have Ajax going through as well.
Yeah, 100%. Agreed. You know, no disrespect against Benfica, but I mean, well, you know what, we'll see how it plays out, but I do have Ajax going through. And our last matchup of the week, my favorite personally, Manchester United versus Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
How is this looking?
Sorry, really quickly, you said the last game was going to be goal early on. Shout out to my boy Darwin Nunez, scored a third minute against that Barcelona team. I love Nunez. No, to the Man U game now. I think it's going to be a really interesting one because for me it is two teams that are not struggling, but are not playing to their full quality and are both great teams. So I think you're either going to see an incredible matchup of Atletico returning to their class and Man U returning to their class and kind of finding themselves in this matchup against each other, and you're going to see a great game of football, or you are going to see a bunch of Harry Maguires on the pitch and just everyone not knowing what to do with their feet, not remembering how to pass, forgetting to run onto balls, like just terrible decision making. Because, you know, it's no laughing matter, but Man United have not been great recently. Like, they're really a sinking ship right now. So I think this game for both teams is either going to be a game to grab some wood and, you know, patch up all the holes in our boat and get us back floating, or this is going to be a game where we're going to allow ourselves to keep sinking further. Because I am someone who does like Cristiano Ronaldo, I'm going to let a little bias in here. I would love to see Man U be the team that patches their holes. Because I hate how quickly the narrative has shifted on him.
My
like man, the Man U narrative of, oh, now he can't score. Like, why did we get him? Yeah. It makes no sense to me. Like, he comes in and he scores in, like, what, his first, like, 5 games in a row or something like that. And then he goes a few games without scoring, and now you guys are losing your mind. Like, it's ridiculous to me. But so for that reason, I would love to see Man U come out there and just, you know, fix all their problems like that. I mean, that being said, I don't think that's realistic. I think Atletico is going to win this game, and I think that they're going to win, like, the... I know we're not supposed to be doing both legs, but I think they're going to win the draw 100%.
Yeah.
I think the difference is going to come down to discipline on defense, and Atletico is a more disciplined defensive team than Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire, and Luke Shaw are, you know? Like,
you see, this matchup for me is the most interesting because of all of the factors that are coming into play.
Yeah.
Number one, you hit the nail on the head when you said that both of these teams are not even close to playing to their potential this year.
Yeah.
Atletico, fifth in the Liga. Man United, fifth in the Prem. Both not winning the games they should win. Both in shambles all over the place.
Leaving points.
Both have players that are not playing to their ability.
Yep.
And they're a spitting image of each other. The second interesting thing about this, whenever a team has Cristiano Ronaldo on it in the Champions League, there's always some sort of narrative that Mr. Champions League is going to carry to the next round. And that narrative has never came up so often as it has with Atletico Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
He has single-handedly ruined their Champions League hopes, to my recollection, 4 times.
Yeah.
2 finals, a hat trick at home in the quarters,
yeah,
I think in 2017, and of course, our favorite match,
oh,
round of 16, 18-19 season with Juve.
Yeah.
Hat trick, see you later. So that is a huge narrative in of itself.
Mm-hmm.
This team, if Atletico fans tell you that they don't fear Cristiano Ronaldo, if Diego Simeone tells you that he doesn't fear Ronaldo and that Messi's better and blah, 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 he's lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ronaldo has ruined a team that should have won a Champions League title.
Oh, 100%.
That team should have won something more. They should have won more in general, mm-hmm, but they should have won the Champions League in the past 10 years. And the reason they haven't is because of Real Madrid, of course,
yeah,
but mainly their biggest problem
has been Ronaldo,
and their kryptonite has been Ronaldo.
Right.
So this is, you consider all these factors, you consider how the Champions League, it's like an otherworldly type of tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Man U can win this game.
Yep.
I think they will win this game. And if they don't win the first leg, I think they're going to come back and win the next leg.
You think so?
I just think they're going to go through. And it's like, it's based on nothing because they are not a good squad. They have no,
they have no
team cohesion. But what is the one variable that I'm going to bet on that has almost never let me down? It's the fact that Ronaldo will score goals against Atletico Madrid and knock them out in this tournament.
Yeah.
So based on that, because there's nothing else, Harry Maguire is a pylon. Luke Shaw cannot play football correctly, or he can't play it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Fred in your midfield, there's something wrong with your team.
Yep.
Pogba's spotty. Bruno's spotty. Sancho's picking up form, and then he's spotty. Rashford, this whole team is spotty.
Yep.
The only consistent player on their team, because Ronaldo's not consistent anymore, unfortunately, not right now.
Mm-hmm.
He will be back, but not right now, is De Gea.
Yep.
So I have no doubt that he's going to put on an incredible performance, but I just think it's going to be either, like you said, the best football of this, like some of the best football we've seen this round of 16,
yeah,
in terms of everybody just playing to their ability, or it's,
yeah,
going to be a mess of,
mm-hmm,
just both sides just playing terribly.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. You bring up a great point there with, you know, just the Ronaldo against Atletico, that whole timeline. But I still think I do, in this case, have to bet against them. You know, I definitely see him scoring against them. I do see, like, Man U getting a few goals against Atletico, but I don't think that they're going to be able to stay together defensively, like, as a cohesive unit for 180 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to, over two legs, be able to hold off Atletico for long enough. And I don't think they're going to be able to produce enough offense to offset the goals that they're going to be letting in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it happening. And it's unfortunate, but the one solace I can see in Man U if they lose this is hopefully that is the kick in the butt they need to, hey, guys, you know, this is the round of 16. We have this incredible squad. We got Jordan Sancho this summer. We signed Rafael Varane this summer. We signed Cristiano Ronaldo, the greatest player of all time this summer. And we're losing in the round of 16 of a Champions League, right?
With this squad.
with that squad. And that's not even mentioning the guys they already had. That's not mentioning Pogba. That's not mentioning Rashford. That's not mentioning Martial. That's not mentioning De Gea. That's leaving those guys out of it. Even Bruno, yeah. You know, like, you're leaving so many class players out. You're only mentioning those top three world-class players. Those three guys should be enough. They can be enough. But I don't think they're going to be. And I think the good thing of them losing to Atletico, if they do, is that hopefully it will serve as the guys wake up. We are a talented squad. We have incredible football players here. What are we doing? What is going on? And hopefully it's that.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so infuriating because, like, and the question I'm going to bring up is that I've watched the last few games. I watched Southampton, 1-1 draw, and I've watched, Burnley, 1-1 draw. Bottom of the table, Burnley.
Yep.
And if you cannot create offense against a middle of the table Premier League side and a bottom of the table Premier League side, how do you expect to create offense against one of the most defensive teams in the world?
Yeah.
And that's what they do. Like, everybody knows that Diego Simeone's style is 11 men behind the ball.
Yep.
For 90 minutes. And, like, let's just pray we get a garbage goal in the 87th or something like that. That's been his style for, like, 10 years, for over a decade.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to expect to create any goals when they can't create any goals against the teams they play in the Premier League week in and week out. So your prediction, score prediction, let's hear it.
I'm going to go with a cheeky, cheeky little 2-1 win for Atletico Madrid.
Okay. I'm going to say, just the first leg?
Yeah, just the first leg. I'm saying 2-1, just first leg.
1-0 Atletico Madrid or 3-1 Atletico Madrid?
Ooh, I like the variance.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Well, that is going to do it for the first episode of the Footy Fix. It is absolutely incredible to be back. I had a great time, grand old time. How about you, Ben?
I'd say it's decent. This Man United talk has got me down.
All right. We'll play some FIFA after this. Get your spirits back up. But as always, thank you very much to everybody who is listening. And be sure to tune in next week to the Footy Fix podcast.